we're always getting bigger and bigger. And this year it was exciting to have the STEM challenges and sort of get the kids thinking about this before the event. So I think that's really the direction that we're sort of trying to go. It's not just an excursion to come see cars at the event. It's really a day of learning, but that it also can be incorporated into the classroom before the event and afterwards as well.
And it is that attitude that's making the Australian Grand Prix really shine for educators. We're talking about the Industry and Innovation Precinct, where over 30,000 students have registered to go learn about STEM. Tell you what a fantastic event.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed podcast. Hey, big week this week. It's all about the Australian Grand Prix, which is coming up in late March. And today we get to speak with Elise Dawson, who heads up the Industry and Innovation Precinct. This is a really cool site. It's been going for 6 years, which is all about showcasing Victoria's innovation and capabilities in design and manufacturing. Seriously cool program. They offer a free program for students that attend on the Thursday and Friday prior to the main event, all about the driving learning education program. It's all about STEM, and seriously, like I said in the intro, we're talking 30,000 students. Seriously cool workshop, and there's career seminars and hands-on workshops and interactive displays. We'll be there doing some science stuff too. It's going to be a really cool event, and you're going to find out how you can get involved.
So this is my second Formula One Grand Prix that I'll be delivering. So my main role is managing the Industry and Innovation Precinct. It's an area at the event that showcases the latest in Victorian innovation and ingenuity. As part of the precinct, we offer a free education program to all students to attend on the Thursday and the Friday of the event. So it's called Driving Learning.
Oh gosh, can you imagine what the students would be like just turning up to an event like that? It's not every day you get to go to Australian Formula One.
It's a pretty exciting excursion.
Yeah, just more than just a little. I know there's a couple of people here at work, and Justine, if you're listening, I'm talking to you here. we've got someone who genuinely likes her motorsport. But how did you get involved with this?
So I started last year as a coordinator, and I've sort of moved through the ranks a little bit quickly, which is good. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking after this whole area and delivering the driving learning program, which is really exciting. So it's really a great program to be involved with, encouraging students to take on STEM learning, showing them the cool career paths and linking it back to the Formula One and the technology behind the F1 race teams and what they do.
Yeah, so how long has this precinct been around for the Australian Formula One?
It's been about 6 years now, so it's going strength to strength, getting bigger and bigger. So this year we've just ticked over 30,000 students registering for the program.
Wow.
Which is amazing. We have over 15 exhibitors in the area as well.
Oh, wow. So just describe this space for us, because there'll be some people guaranteed to be interested and more importantly may not have been to the site. I mean, of those 15 exhibitors and things like that, what do they get to see?
Yeah, sure. So as you know, it's a park that gets transformed into the circuit for the event. So one of the big football ovals that we call the precinct in the week of the event, we have the Australian Defence Force come in and they bring all their static displays. So this year they're bringing in a Navy helicopter, some of their armoured vehicles. The Air Force is bringing in a simulator, Air Force simulator, so that's really exciting this year. RMIT is one of our biggest partners, and they have a 20-metre by 20-metre marquee with all sorts of their robots, 3D printing. They've got a big drone display as well, so outside of their marquee they've got some of their bigger drones on display and showcased throughout the event. We have a seminar stage, so talent from supercars and Formula One and the Defence Force talk about the different career paths that STEM learning can lead to. And then we also have some really great workshops. So Vic Polytechnic will be hosting some of them and physics education as well.
You've got a lot of fun going on. I mean, I know it's a lot of effort to be able to pull these things together. Let's be honest. I know that for sure. But gee, it must just be cool just to stroll around and just see all this happening all at once.
Oh, it's amazing. It's an amazing area. It's just so, it's full of buzz, the latest tech and gadgets, VR experiences. So yeah, the students love it. Even the staff love coming to my area because it's just so different from everywhere else. A lot of learning, a lot of different new things that no one's seen before. So yeah, it's a really cool area.
One of the things that really grabbed my attention, I mean, if you just jump onto grandprix.com.au and just, you know, follow the links and things, the STEM design challenges are certainly something I thought of just brilliant and a really great way to work right from the really young kids right to the old kids. I mean, let's just have a bit of a chat about what that's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really exciting part that we've just brought together for this year. So we've worked really closely with the STEM Circle. They've created these challenges for us to include school curriculum. So there's the three challenges for the younger kids, middle kids, secondary school kids, and each comes with its own set of challenges that they have to go through, and then they submit their final entry, and we are awarding the winning school and the winning student at the event, and we've got a really great partner that's providing some prizes with their little Mbot robotics that they'll be including a sort of workshop to be hosted at the school as well. So it's really beneficial for the school to get involved in it and also the students to learn about all the different things that are happening. And then when they get to the event, they get to see it in live, live practicalities pretty much.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like I'm looking at these three specific challenges. You've got the pit lane robot, fastest car on the track, and travel smart. Now I can see we are talking young ones. We're saying foundation to year two, so those people in other states, we're talking kindergarten and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Let's just go through each one because I'm just really personally curious about what they get up to. So pit lane robot, I mean, what's that all about?
So yeah, they get to design their own pit lane robot, which is quite cool. And they'll just sort of have a base of what they're looking at and then sort of create their own sort of idea of how it could work.
Yep.
And then the next one is more about coding. So the next age group is more about coding, and that's getting Ricardo around the circuit. And then the final challenge is more about transport. So it's really a very present issue with us being in the city and how to get all the patrons into the venue and that sort of thing. So these are real life, problems that we face. So it's really great to get the students involved in a practical challenge.
Yeah, and it looks like you've got a lot going on. And one of the things that was quite interesting as well is this program around driving learning. I mean, getting career professionals, aligned in STEM fields and all the rest going on. This has really come out of, it's an accumulation of 6 years of work. I mean, I kind of wonder, where are you going sort of next? What's the plans over the years to come?
We're always getting bigger and bigger. And this year it was exciting to have the STEM challenges and sort of get the kids thinking about this before the event. So I think that's really the direction that we're sort of trying to go. It's not just an excursion to come see cars at the event. It's really a day of learning, but it also can be incorporated into the classroom before the event and afterwards as well.
Now, during the actual the Grand Prix itself, I mean, yep. Have you had any interest from the public to see some of these exhibits?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so Thursday and Friday are our dedicated schools days, but it's definitely open to the general public as well. And then on Saturday and Sunday, you have your general punter come through and your families and their kids come through. So all the exhibitors are highly interactive and engaging. So even if you weren't aware of what STEM was, it's still really exciting to come through and see what's happening, the VR experiences, the simulators and so forth.
Yeah. I'm just actually just wondering, like, as a student, they're walking through effectively a playground. I mean, there's almost putting you on the spot in some ways, but I kind of wonder, out of all the different experiences, what is the one that is a complete bottleneck, which is the one that students always completely crowd around, they want in, and it's, you know what I mean?
Simulators are pretty popular, but we do have a lot of VR this year as well, which I think will be really cool. Mm. And then new for this year is the Defence Force are bringing their flight simulator, and RMIT will also have one as well. So I think they're going to be very highly populated areas to get into.
Yeah, wow. I mean, actually, just wondering in VR, I mean, virtual reality can mean a lot of different things. What are they, do you know what they get to see in that experience?
Yeah, so we've got Taylor's, who are a surveying company that works closely with us, and they've actually got two elements. They've got augmented reality, so you put your glasses on and you'll be able to see the whole circuit.
That's cool.
And then we've got the VR experience of that, where you put the goggles on and you'll be on the circuit and you can move around and you can point to areas and go straight to it. So they're really cool. And then Victoria Polytechnic are also including a VR workshop into their micro experiences.
I want to come.
Yes, definitely come. Everyone should get involved.
Oh, that's really, really cool. And I mean, I guess just out of interest, advice for teachers planning on bringing their classes to your event. I mean, what would you say would be like, you know, a couple of things that you'd suggest always as advice to get their students' heads together before they arrive?
Yep. So we do have, you know, bag checking on the door. So it's always good to, if possible, to bring as little bags as possible, but also do the checking before you arrive, just to not hold you up at the gate. Once you're in there, make sure you have a meeting spot, a meeting area, so everyone knows if they get lost to go back to that area. Plan your day beforehand. So we've got all the seminars and the workshops up on our website to register before. So it's always good to know what areas that you want to go to beforehand. And then I guess it's Melbourne, so be prepared for all types of weather.
Four seasons in one day, right?
Exactly.
No, fair enough. And I mean, undoubtedly there'll be people actually wanting to get in touch with you. Just before we give out like all those details, I mean, obviously you got mainly Victorian schools. Do you get many people from interstate coming in that are schools, not so much as the public?
We have had a couple, not many obviously for the travel factor, but there have been a few from New South Wales that have come down for it. We get lots of regional schools that come for it as well, so that's really great. They make the trip over.
Oh, fantastic. And so obviously we need to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you or find out more about the event. How would they do that?
Yep, so they can register online. So on our website, there's the Industry and Innovation Precinct tab, and part of that is the schools program. So if you click onto that, it's got all our details and also has the registration. And you could also email schools@grandprix.com.au.
No worries. And what are the important events that people need to know if they really want to get themselves involved?
The dates, yeah. So it's 22nd to the 25th is the Grand Prix, and Thursday is the 22nd, Friday the 23rd, that's the school days. So that's where we offer the free tickets for the schools to come through, and it's a general admin ticket. So not only do they get to come to the precinct and be part of all the activities within the precinct, but they'll get to have, you know, on-track viewing and go around the whole venue and check it all out, which is really exciting.
No worries. And if you're getting involved with the STEM Design Challenge as well, just remember that March 12th is the date that you must get your challenge submitted by.
And if we have extended that to the 16th.
So oh, that was nice.
Any more submissions coming through, please get them in.
Yeah, and definitely, and register for it beforehand too, yeah?
Correct.
Awesome. Hey, well, thank you very much for popping in. I know you've got a lot to sort out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that far away before it's game on.
No, it's very close. It's scary but exciting.
Yeah, it's good fun. You must have a little bit of a break after it.
Oh, we do, yeah. We have a good party at the end, and then we have a couple of days that we close the office and refresh.
Yeah, understandable. Well, enjoy it, and hope we get to see you trackside.
Yeah, hope to see you all there.
Well, there we go. We were speaking with Elise Dawson, who is the manager for industry integration at the Australian Grand Prix Corporation. What a cool job. She's in her second year doing it. And I must say, being able to just stitch together all these fantastic providers, it's all about rich experiences. It really is. I mean, can you imagine students doing AR and VR stuff with the really cool tech being brought into the room for all these different providers? I would love to be there. And I must say, I'm going to see if I can make my way down. It's going to be fantastic. And if you can't make your way down, coming up after the break, we are going to do some of the experiments that are all about the Bernoulli principle, which, by the way, keeps these seriously fast cars, on the ground as they whip around the circuit. It's going to be a bit of fun.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech, and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS, and click 100 free experiments.
When it comes to F1 cars, obviously they're very, very fast. We all know that they're very, very quick. But it's not just about designing engines that make this car seriously fly along the track. The issue is they really want to fly. The surfaces of the car itself have to be designed so the cars literally don't fly off the track. And the way they get around this is using Bernoulli's principle. Who was Bernoulli? He was a mathematician, and he did a lot of work around how fluids flow and what are their pressures. And this, you know, we won't go into the maths because, you know, it's a podcast. But just know for now that if you have fluids flowing, the faster they go, the lower the pressure, which is very counterintuitive. You'd think fast fluids would be high pressure, but they're not. They're actually low pressure. And we, you know, the mask, you can go check that out. Look up Bernoulli, Bernoulli, and you can go read all of it to your heart's content. But for now, turns out that air flows like a fluid, especially if it goes over surfaces. And it's that principle that low pressure is found in fast moving fluids, like air, which acts like a fluid, allows these, well, cars, which are almost like planes in some way, they're going so fast, to stay on the ground. Now, how they do that? It's all about those surfaces that are curved, those aerofoils. Now, if you're not sure what an aerofoil is, think about the wings on a plane. They're curved, right? And that curve on a plane, on the plane wing anyway, the air will go over the top of the wing and it'll go underneath the wing. And there's a longer distance going over the top of the wing compared to underneath the wing. Now, turns out, as the air goes over the wing, it'll stick to the wing due to an effect called the Coander effect. And as this air goes over the wing, it has to go faster over the wing than it does underneath the wing. Now, by the way, let's be honest, there's actually a bit of conjecture about what actually makes a plane fly up in the air. And if you are, if you want, you know, feel free to send us some feedback, because I undoubtedly know there'll be an engineer going, this is exactly how it works. But anyway, the air going over the wing in a simplistic way, it's traveling faster over the wing because it's a longer distance to travel than it is underneath the wing. Now, what's this got to do with keeping the plane in the sky and therefore the F1 car on the ground? Well, if the air is running over the top of the wing is quite fast, that will be low pressure above a plane wing. And that means air underneath the wing has high pressure, and there's a science rule that says high pressure moves into low pressure. So as your plane takes off, you'll see it's got a nice curved wing, especially the big 747s and things. That forces air to rush over the wing quite fast, and you create a massive amount of lift. You get this pressure differential where high pressure pushes the plane up into low pressure. Now, think about the F1 car. If you have a look at it, especially they're rushing around the track of the Australian Grand Prix, you will see curved surfaces again. Well, they are aerofoils, and they create lift. And in this case, the lift is not forcing the car up into the air, it's forcing the car down onto the ground. So what could you do in the classroom to make this kind of like, you know, a bit easier to show kids? So here's your homework. Here's what you got to do. Get yourself some toilet paper. Get yourself a leaf blower. Seriously, get yourself a leaf blower. And get yourself a paint roller. Now, what you need to do is you put your toilet paper onto your paint roller and sort of peel the paper off just a bit. So, you know, it's kind of hanging down a little bit like you'd see in a, you know, a bathroom stall. And show the kids the cross-section. The cross-section of a toilet paper roll is actually not that much different to the aerofoil cross-section that's found on an F1 car or on a plane. Now, all you need to do now is hold your paint roller up, have the paper sort of hanging it down away from where our leaf blower is, and get someone to turn the leaf blower on and let the air rush over the top of the paper. Now, knowing that that fast air has low pressure means you have a tremendous difference in pressure between the top of the paper and below the paper. Remember that fast air is low pressure, right? Which means you have a lot of high pressure, which will lift that paper up into the air. And because of the, well, the toilet paper's on a paint roller, it'll start rolling crazily and you'll shoot paper all the way over the room. So it's a very, very simple experiment, but I tell you what, it seriously grabs kids' attention and it helps show that Bernoulli's principle generally allows planes to fly in the sky and F1 cars to stay on the ground. Yes, let's be honest, there is no way a kid is not going to pay attention when you bring out a leaf blower. It's loud and it's, well, it does all its stuff. There's the air going everywhere. Kids are going to pay attention if you're going to show that in, well, in your classroom or museum or whatever. And if you haven't got access to a leaf blower, you can actually show the Bernoulli's principle in a simpler way. Here's another way. Get yourself a funnel. and get yourself a table tennis ball, like, you know, those ping pong balls. And all you got to do is hold your funnel up, like, so, you know, as if you're going to pour liquid down through it, so it's, you know, upright, and put the ball into the funnel. That's all it is, just two simple objects. And what you do is you get yourself a volunteer from the audience, get them from the classroom and get them to stand up and ask them to blow the ball out of the funnel. And let's be honest, a ping pong ball, like a table tennis ball, is incredibly light. So people will look at your funnel and go, well, that's pretty easy, right? And so they will try and blow the ball out. But I must say, they always, nearly always put their mouth on the funnel's, you know, spout and blow as hard as they can. And you know what? You can't do it. In fact, we call it the impossible puff on our website because it's impossible. The harder you blow, the worse it gets because you've got this curved surface on the ball. Now, remember, we were talking about aerofoils in the last little segment. Well, that curved surface sort of is a bit like an aerofoil as well. And remember that things move from high to low pressures, and the faster the air, the lower the pressure. Now, just like we're talking about the Bernoulli thing, you know, moving air will move from high pressure to low pressure. Well, here's the deal. When you blow on the bottom of that funnel really, really hard, the fastest air is beneath the ball, and the slowest air is above the ball. And that's, well, that means that the faster you, harder the blow, you blow this ball, the pressure above the ball holds it down. You get yourself a stronger differential in pressure, and you can never really blow it out. Now, how do you blow the ball out of the funnel? You actually hold the funnel so it's sort of below your mouth, so the widest opening is below your mouth, right? And if you blow across the top of the funnel, air from underneath the funnel will then push upwards from slow air into fast air and take the ball up in the air too.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? We love seeing students get excited about science, and you will too. Go to physicseducation.com.au and click on schools for more info.
Is you can really use Bernoulli's principle in a lot of ways to show how the Australian Grand Prix truly works from keeping the cars on the ground. And here's one more experiment which will keep the kids very interested and teach them at the same time. Now, this one is called Blow Them Apart. And by the way, all these experiments you can find on the Phys Ed website. Just type them into the search bar, I guarantee you'll find them. And if you look in the free experiment section, there is a force and movement section which has this stuff all listed. So the last one, here's what you need. You need two balloons. You need a rod, you know, like a stick, basically. And if you can't get yourself a stick, just get yourself a volunteer. You need some string. And that's about it. So blow your balloons up in identical sizes, like, you know, the size of your head. For some people, it might be bigger. Anyway, so you've got two balloons. And what you're going to do is you're going to tie a string onto those balloons. So, you know, a reasonable length of string, like, you know, about 30, 40 centimeters or so. And either your volunteer holds the string so the balloons sort of hang down at even heights, or you tie those strings onto that stick that you've got. And you then put the stick across like a stack of books or something. So again, the balloons hang at the same height. And you say to the students, what I need you to do is you're going to blow as hard as you can between the balloons, and your job is to get the balloons to push apart. Now, of course, they'll go, well, that's pretty straightforward. And they'll try, and they will likely fail. The reason why is it's the same thing as what we're talking about before. You've got fast air going between the balloons, and slow air on the sides, on the outside of the balloons. And remember that slow air moves to fast air because high pressure moves to low pressure, and the balloons will come together as you blow. Now, there is a bit of a confounded part of this experiment. It works with balloons, but the problem is they bounce off each other because, you know, they're bouncy, which means maybe what you could do as a variable test is to try different objects. Maybe you could try tennis balls, footballs, soccer balls, basketballs, balloons, or maybe cubes. Reason being is that does it really matter whether it's curved or not? It's just worth a bit of a try. Hey, anyway, I hope you've had a bit of fun with this particular podcast. The Australian Grand Prix is just around the corner in late March. However, you can still get involved with, you know, doing all this stuff. So I'd really encourage you jumping on the Australian Formula One's website and checking out all the details. And in the meantime, I hope you're making your classroom and your museum and your zoo, your aquarium, wherever you happen to be working, as vibrantly cool and engaging as possible. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and you've been listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. I will catch you next week.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.